Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com. Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Seth Green. Today, I have the good fortune to be joined by brand name expert Alexandra Watkins, author of the best-selling creativity book, Hello, My Name is Awesome. Alexandra, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Seth. So glad to be here.
We are so glad to have you. Love the book. Let's go back in time just a little bit. How does one become a brand name expert? What got you interested in this field in the first place?
Well, I didn't even know this field was a field. I was an advertising copywriter for 16 years, and every once in a while, I would get thrown a bone and get to name something, and I love naming, but I had no idea that it was a career or profession. So when I found that out, I switched gears and told everyone I was a professional namer, and I just grew into it. And then I wrote the book, and here I am.
Well, I'm sure the longer version of the story is obviously in the book that we want everybody to go get. So what do you, it is a book that you work your way through and come up with awesome results if you follow directions at the end. Let's talk about, what are some of the biggest mistakes business owners and entrepreneurs make when naming a product or service?
The number one mistake people make is they start on GoDaddy. So they start by looking to see if their brand name is available. That's the last place that I look. The first thing I do is, you know, I fill out a creative brief and then I start brainstorming. I have all kinds of tips and tricks for that. But the last thing you do is find a domain name. If your exact match domain name isn't available, just add a modifier word. And a lot of people are surprised to learn that for the first 13 years they were in business, Tesla did not have Tesla.com. They were at Tesla Motors. You know, Facebook was the Facebook until 2005. There's all kinds of examples of companies that didn't let the roadblock of not getting the exact match domain stop them. So if you get a great name, that's the most important thing, and then worry about the domain name later.
What can, I don't want to assume that any of us know anything, given that this is what you do all day, every day. What can the right name do for us?
Oh, well, the right name, you know, consider your name like a welcome mat, right? It can open doors for you. So your name will last longer than any other investment you make in your business. So yeah, think of, you know, if you have a name, especially a name with legs. So I'll use my own business name as an example, Eat My Words. So our blog is called The Kitchen Sink. We have a value menu. We have service names like, we're just introducing one called Small Fry. We have Fun Size and Snack Pack, Supermarket Special. So yeah, that's what a name can do for you. If your name has legs, you can extend your brand.
How do we know if the name we're trying to come up with has legs? How do we know if it'll work?
Well, I have a 12-point name evaluation test. It's called the Smile and Scratch Test. It's been featured in the Wall Street Journal. And anyone can test their name for free. If you go to eatmywords.com, just click on test a name, and it will walk you through the test. It's called the Smile and Scratch Test because it's based on my philosophy that a name should make you smile instead of scratch your head. SMILE is an acronym for the five qualities that make a name awesome. Scratch is an acronym for the deal breakers. And when it makes you scratch your head, scratch it off the list. And when you take the test, be honest. a lot of, I see, you know, I probably get 20 tests a day that I see. And a lot of people are just, they're not, you know what, have somebody else evaluate, take the test for you. If you really love the name, let somebody else who's more objective take the test for you.
What happens if we've already, let's say you mentioned Tesla being in business for 13 years before they got Tesla.com. Let's say we've been in business for a while and we get a bad score on your test. Does that mean we've got to rebrand?
Well, you don't have to, but I'll tell you, everybody that does change their name, they always, at least with us, they always say, oh, I wish I'd done this a long time ago. So yeah, we have renamed two companies that are more than 100 years old. You know, one, I'll give you a quick example. One was named First National Bank of Syracuse, but they were in Syracuse, Kansas, not Syracuse, New York. People in Kansas don't want to do business with the New York bank. So, and it was an award-winning regional bank. So they wanted a maverick name. They were winning all kinds of banking awards. So we rebranded them Dream First because it's an aspirational name. It's all about making people's dreams come true, which is what the bank does. And their former tagline was, we make dreams come true. So the name fell out of that.
Awesome. And does our name, according to your protocol, should it tell our customers, clients, and prospects what we actually do?
It should be suggestive. So it should suggest a positive brand experience. It doesn't have to, you know, your name can't say everything, right? It's going to be, you know, 1 to 3 words max, but it should be evocative of something. So like a name that I love is Rent the Runway. And Rent the Runway is where, you know, women can rent designer fashions for, you know, a fraction of what they would pay to own the actual item. And that's, you know, that's a longer name. But it's okay to have a longer name if it's memorable. So, you know, RTR, the initials, that doesn't mean anything. That's not memorable, where Rent the Runway is.
Absolutely. And Rent the Runway tells you exactly what they do. You have some great examples in the book of companies who got this wrong, some of which are household names. Can you share a couple of them with us?
Oh, well, okay. The household name, Häagen-Dazs. And I challenge anyone listening or watching this to spell Häagen-Dazs. It's impossible. And, you know, I don't know if I'm old enough to remember when Häagen-Dazs first came on the scene. And it was like, how do you even say that? And it has an umlaut in it. Don't ever put a diacritical mark in your name. People hate them. Americans hate them. I will rephrase that. We don't know how to make them on our keyboard. Anytime there's like a weird, you know, accent mark, anything like that in your name, you're going to make it difficult for people. So yeah. Another household name I would say is the dog food Yukonuba. Like that's another one. Like how, like nobody knows how to pronounce that when they first see it. And look, the way I learn how to pronounce names is I'll call the company after hours and I'll hear it on their voicemail.
Do you ever do that as a marketing strategy going, I couldn't figure out how to pronounce, so I had to call, you guys need my services?
Well, look, nobody wants to hear. Okay, look, if your name sucks, you know it sucks. Like there's a chocolate company in San Francisco named Cho, and it's spelled T-C-H-O. They know their name sucked. They know people have a lot of trouble with their name. So no, I've never used that as a marketing strategy to get business. I figure, well, they know it's bad. Maybe they'll come to me.
Awesome. Now you mentioned the Dream First as an example. What are some of the other names you've been behind that have gotten, you know, amazing results?
Oh, well, one that I love is the robotic vacuum named Neato. And Neato is really fun. It's a fun name because it you know, it's neat. It's a robot vacuum and it neatens your house. So it's Neato. So that one's been very successful for us. There's an ice cream franchise, and not franchise, a chain of ice cream stores in the Bay Area that we named Smitten. And everybody loves Smitten. People have gotten married at Smitten. You know, people that have had their first date at Smitten have gone on to like get married at Smitten or have Smitten cater their weddings. Another one, Spoon Me Frozen Yogurt. I met a guy one time. He's a fellow. We have the same publisher. I met him at one of our conferences, and he told me his wife, at the time, he was going. They were both going to BYU. Spoonie was in Utah, and she was in the friend zone, and he wanted to move her out of the friend zone into the dating zone. So he took her to Spoon Me, and she got the hint. And now, they're married with kids. So yeah, I love stories like that. Oh, and my most famous name is I named the Wendy's Baconator. That's my claim to fame. So yeah, in the first t 2 months the Baconator was being promoted, they sold 26 million units. And since that time, there's Son of Baconator, Breakfast Baconator, Baconator fries. I mean, there's a Baconator has its own Wikipedia page.
That is absolutely awesome. You should have led with the Baconator because everyone would immediately
I forgot.
recognize it.
Usually, the reason I forgot, usually when a host introduced me, it's they say like, at this thing, if you've ever eaten a Wendy's Baconator, you have literally eaten her words.
Is that where the name Eat My Words came from?
Eat My Words was inspired by, in the beginning, we were naming a lot of things that make people fat and drunk.
Fat and drunk, those are things people always will want things that do that to them.
Yeah,
Awesome.
and we also
Who?
named, for Burger King, we named Mac and Cheetos, which is this kind of a Franken food, very polarizing, a lot of fun consumer reviews on TikTok and all the channels.
I bet for our folks who aren't Fortune 500 companies who are watching or listening, who's an ideal client for you?
Oh, well, we love working with small clients. I mean, that's totally fine. So like a mom that's starting a dance studio, or someone that is doing cupcake. We named the Church of Cupcakes. So yeah, I mean, everybody has to start small, right? And I have a big heart for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. So yeah, we work a lot with coaches, consultants. Yeah, retail stores are my favorite thing to name. So yeah, products, retail. Yeah, we name all kinds of things. The only thing we don't do at Eat My Words, we don't do drugs, so no pharmaceuticals, no pharmaceutical naming. But yeah, everything else we love to name.
I would think the pharmaceutical industry could use your help most of all, because most of their drug names
Oh,
don't tell you a darn thing and you can't pronounce them and you don't know what it is.
I know. I worked on as a freelancer. I worked on naming on the OxyContin naming project, and I came up with all these really cool names. But then I discovered that the FDA has all of these rules, and you can't make the name sound too good. Like Halcyon was a drug back in the 60s and 70s, and the name sounded too good, so they can't use those names anymore. They have to make this name sound like not very appealing, I guess.
You can't name a drug, knockmeout.com.
No. But it's funny because when we first our one of our first big projects was for Del Monte, and they had hired a naming firm to work on it, and all of the names sounded like pharmaceutical names for this energy drink for women. And so yeah, they hired the wrong firm, then they hired us, and we named it Bloom because women want to, it was all natural energy. We all have our 4 p.m. Diet Coke, so this was the replacement for that. And we named the Just Add Vodka version, like the party version. We named it a Sonic Bloom.
That is awesome. You sound like you have a lot of fun every day.
We do. I love what we do.
You've also built an incredible team. Talk a little bit about them.
Oh, well, yeah, my team. I have a great team. My newest namer, well, she's actually my repeat namer. I just brought her back, Janice. Janice is my clone. I randomly met her here at a, we had a games night at our house. She's a neighbor, and she I gave her my book, and she read it, and she took our namer test, and she had the best names out of anybody that's ever taken our test. And I was blown away because she was a math tutor, and who knew? But yeah, some people are really talented at naming. Yeah, so we really have a good team of people that specialize in fun names, so that's what we love to do. And I know people are now using AI like ChatGPT to name things. ChatGPT, if you ask it to do fun names, it does super corny names, like names that make you groan. Like, we do really fun names. Like, we were naming a kids travel game, for a kids and family travel game. And we came up with names like Tripopotamus and Fee-Fi-Fo-Fun and Board, like B-O, like Board Game, B-O-A-R-D, Board Silly. So yeah, and if anyone's curious, I'll send you the list of names we came up with versus the names that ChatGPT came up with. It's really night and day.
I would bet. You've achieved so much success for your clients and of course for your firm. What's your biggest challenge now?
I think the biggest challenge is just convincing people, you know, staying relevant and always staying ahead of the curve, which right now is ChatGPT, and just letting people know, like, you know, look, you can ask it to give you names. You can ask it, what do you think of these names? But it's never going to be able to really give you a professional opinion. So right now I'm leaning really hard into human services, like consulting, name reviews, like, yeah, still continuing to help people with their names. I have an online course. I do live coaching with that if people need help with that. So yeah, just staying human and, you know, just letting people know that we're here for them.
Awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Oh, just that every day it's something different. I never know what I'm going to be naming.
Awesome. Well, we greatly appreciate you spending some time with us. Where can our viewers and listeners go again to take the name test and to get the book, which is a course in and of itself?
Yeah, go to eatmywords.com. You can take the name test right from our homepage. The book is there. You can also find the book on Amazon. Hello, My Name is Awesome. And yeah, it has 751 reviews. So, and it has all really good reviews. So yeah, that's where to find me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. And if you do, tell me that you heard me on the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Alexandra, for your very valuable time.
My pleasure, Seth. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.